WCRI's festival series highlights one of our community's greatest musical traditions, the Newport Music Festival. Since 1969, the Newport Music Festival has hosted over 2,000 concerts in Rhode Island's most prestigious venues, while presenting world-renowned and emerging classical music artists from around the globe. The Newport Music Festival has left an indelible mark on our music history here in Rhode Island, as well as around the world. Now, here's host Mike Mano, along with the festival's executive director, Pamela Pantos.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to a very special concert provided by the Newport Music Festival. Pamela Pantos is here, as usual, the executive director. I'm Mike Mano, and happy to see you again, Pamela.
Well, thank you very much, Mike.
And you look great, considering that we're in the throes of one of the biggest events of the year, and you're running it all.
Oh, well, I'm not running it all. I provide a little organizational skill there, but that's about it.
I've seen you set up chairs and pick up papers and hire people and all kinds of stuff.
So it's a lot of fun. I have a lot of great people to work with.
So the Newport Music Festival, just for a moment, has lots of guest artists that come in and out of town, as most people know. And we're very pleased to have with us tonight a special guest that I'll let you introduce.
Well, I'm absolutely thrilled that Stephanie Chase is not only at the festival this summer, but is here in the studio this evening with us. And I'm sure some of you heard her incredible Four Seasons last summer. It was one of the highlights of the entire season, and quite frankly, the most beautiful Four Seasons I've ever heard in my entire life. We were left in tears. So Stephanie's here this summer playing some incredible pieces, and she's with us.
Excellent.
Welcome, Stephanie.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be back.
Pleasure to have you back in beautiful Rhode Island again. Now, for the people listening that didn't have the chance to get to hear your concert last year, let's get a little bit of background about you. Where are you hailing out of?
I'm mostly from New York, but I also have a house in Northwest Connecticut, and I try to spend as much time there as possible.
Okay.
Complete contrast to New York City.
Almost a New Englander.
Yes, yes. Yeah, we have 8 acres, and it's an old farmhouse from the 18th century, so it's quite the contrast.
Okay, and where before that? Have you always lived in the Connecticut area? Or?
No, and it's quite recent for us to be in Connecticut, but I hail originally from the Midwest. I'm from Illinois many, many years back, but I've lived principally in New York City over the years, although I've lived in the Boston area, and I also studied for about a year and a half. I lived in Belgium. While I was in my late teens and studying
the violin.
Yes, with Arthur Grimio.
Okay.
Yes.
And did the violin start at a very young age for you?
Extremely. So many years ago, we can't count anymore. But I was about a year and a half old when I began to play.
A year and a half?
Yes, yes.
Wait a minute.
I know.
No, that's actually true.
A year and a half old.
Yes, yes. Okay. And the reason for that was my parents both played the violin, and they both taught students on the weekends at our house. And I have two older sisters who also played when they were very young. And so for a number of years, I thought everybody played the violin. And it was not until I was really in elementary school that I started realizing that it was not everybody plays the violin, but by then I was hooked.
I've seen a violin. But
wait till you see her violin.
I'm sure. All right. Well, let's talk about the performances coming up, Pamela. Where and when?
Well, predominantly at the Breakers this year for Stephanie, although she is making a guest appearance somewhere else. So I guess we should talk about a couple of these concerts.
Mm-hmm.
Let's start with Monday, July 15th, coming up next week. And that is a very special concert we're doing this year at Castle Hill. It's the first time we're appearing there, and we're thrilled and we're honored that Castle Hill has invited us. So this evening starts with valet parking, and then you get a drink as you walk up onto the beautiful lawn of Castle Hill. And then there's dinner stations throughout and past appetizers, so it's quite an experience, very elegant. And the first half of the program begins first with Handel's Water Music, the one in D, which is the one that we know from Masterpiece Theater.
Of course.
And then directly after that, a little bit of singing. And then Stephanie takes the stage and is doing two movements from Vivaldi's Four Seasons, Spring and Summer. And I'll let you talk about that a little bit. This is one of your signature pieces.
I love playing it. And I have to say that I had the most wonderful time last year in performing it. It was such a fantastic and really supportive group of musicians, and I think any of them could have been up there, you know, doing something comparable. Right. But they're the most wonderful collaborative artists and great, great players. And we also had the added pleasure of having Ian Watson playing the harpsichord, and he's delightful. He's so knowledgeable. So it was a really special event last summer. I look forward to reprising 2 concertos out of the 4. Look forward to it very, very much.
So, as we were saying, this has become a little bit of your signature, right? This piece. I mean, you've played it a great deal.
I have, but that's the wonderful thing about playing music, and especially with different musicians, is that it's a slightly different experience virtually every time. And I find that across all chamber music. And even though these are violin solo concertos, it changes with the ensemble and with the collaborative artists. So I look forward to it again.
Now I'm going to have to ask the question that many people asked me. So you have the entire piece completely memorized.
Yes.
Did that take you a while? Did it come naturally? People are always astounded. I mean, this piece takes over an hour, right, in its entirety?
Nearly an hour, yes, yes.
So tell us a little bit about, you know.
Well, is that something you do in steps as you're learning it, or you just...
I have to say it, in part, it depends on what age you are when you start to learn something. So things that I learned when I was very young, they tend to stick around. For instance, I played the Korngold Violin Concerto recently, and that was a piece that I first performed perhaps 10 years ago. And I started reviewing it, and I thought, did I ever play this before?
So it
has to do with how many years I've been playing this work, but also just the popularity. You know, one hears it a lot. And I've performed it numerous times over the years. But it's you know, I go back and I revisit these works, and I change things up sometimes. So it's always fun. Okay. It's always fresh.
So you mentioned something just a few moments ago. You said anybody could be playing, you know, that solo part. And I think that's one of the really unique things about the festival. We're doing an evening called Solo Masterpieces, and you're playing the Il Grosso Mogul by Vivaldi. I don't think that has ever been played at the festival before, another violin concerto. But what's interesting is that every piece on that program, Solo Masterpieces, is a concerto of one kind or another. In other words, the instrumentalists come on stage and you're not quite sure who's going to step forward and be the soloist for that piece, because we have 2 of our cellists who are soloists. We have the harpist, we have an oboist, we have Ian Watson, the harpsichordist, and everyone else is supporting them. And that's exactly what Stephanie was alluding to, is that it is a unique group of musicians. Everyone is a soloist in their own right. And yet when they play together, the most wonderful things happen. One time one's a soloist, one time another. And I think that's pretty unusual.
Yes, and I appreciate it enormously because you want, you know, very fine musicians, but who are not competitive.
Right.
You know, that it has to be a very democratic process. And so if I'm leading something, I have ideas, but I listen to other people's ideas as well, which is, again, going back to how it's always a fresh experience, because I learn from working with other musicians. And they bring something in terms of their ideas of interpretation.
So I just wanted to mention that Solo Masterpieces, that incredible evening of concerti, you said concertos, we'll talk about that in the break, is on Sunday, July 14th at the Breakers at 8 p.m. And tickets are available at newportmusic.org or at 401-849-0700. And before we go to the break, can you tell us a little bit about this piece that we're going to hear, this Saint-Saëns?
Yes, this is the Introduction and Rondo Capriccioso by Camille Saint-Saëns. It's a wonderfully virtuosic violin piece. I'll leave it at that.
All right. Well, that sounds good enough to me. We'll listen to that, then take a short break and be back with more.
Thank you. Thank you.
Newport Music Festival special event series, and tonight we're very privileged to have Stephanie Chase with us, the violinist that'll be appearing on July 14th and 15th and other times. And Pamela Pantos is here with me. I'm Mike Mano. And Pamela, it's great to have all these artists coming into town once again. Busy time for you.
It is a busy time. It's particularly rewarding when you hear all of this beautiful music being played. You know, when you put it together in your head, and you think you've created, you know, all of this synergy, and then it happens on stage, you realize the power of music. And some of these experiences are incredibly powerful, and I guess we should talk about one of them right now, which is namely Beethoven at the Breakers. As we all know, next year is a big Beethoven anniversary year, but in, you know, preceding that, we thought we'd give everybody a little taste of that. So on Tuesday, July 9th at the Breakers at 8 p.m., we have this beautiful concert, Beethoven at the Breakers, and Stephanie's performing two gorgeous pieces on this program, so I'll let you speak to that a little bit.
Yes, I'm looking forward to this enormously. I'm playing his eighth sonata, which is in G major with Ina Falks.
Right.
Yes, and I'm looking forward to that enormously. I haven't collaborated with her yet, but I've heard her play, and she's marvelous.
So what, I'm sorry, I was going to interrupt and ask you about your relationship with Beethoven's violin sonatas.
I was going to say, you probably didn't have a relationship with Beethoven.
But maybe his sonatas.
I'm not that old, yes.
No, I mean, I've heard you play other ones at the festival.
Yes, yes. And in fact, a number of years ago, probably about 5 years ago, I decided to do all 10 of his sonatas for violin and piano back to back. And so it was three big sonatas one night and then four the next night. I did that with Sarah Davis Buchner, who was at the festival last summer. Yeah. And it's like scaling a big, big, big mountain. It's like the Mount Everest of projects, but it was without the crowds. but it was really a wonderful experience. And he takes you on a journey. I mean, it's amazing how much contrast there is between the first and the tenth, and just the variety of ideas and styles. And of course, with Beethoven, he, for me, is one of the early romantic composers. I mean, the first of the romantic composers. And I think that that happened essentially after Opus 12, you know, the Pathétique Sonata, which is Opus 13. To me, that is music as biography. Mm-hmm. And he's starting to throw out all the rules and regulations as to how you do sonata form and, you know, and sort of the general nature of the music. So it's really an experience to play his music. And again, with each pianist, it's a different interpretation. So I'm looking forward to that.
So do you, before you go on, do you group his violin sonatas? He wrote so many of them in a pretty short period of time. So do you group them? Is there sort of one group and then the second group? Because there's that little bit of, isn't there like a little bit of a hiatus between the earlier, like, and then the last?
Yes, well, you know, in terms of stylistic.
Stylistic.
It's interesting because with the eighth sonata that we're doing, he actually sort of goes back to the earlier
classical form.
Classical form.
Right.
And it's followed by the ninth, the Kreutzer Sonata,
which
for
is,
instance. Yes, which
wait,
is it's a double concerto for
right.
violin and piano, and then also with the seventh, it's very intense mm-hmm. and you know extremely virtuosic. So none of them is easy to play, but I think the eighth is particularly lovely. It's mm-hmm. beautiful.
It is beautiful.
Yeah, a very great, gracious sonata. And then on the same program, we're also doing something that I'm doing for the first time,
oh,
which is
really?
The yes.
Oh, I'm so excited.
His Opus 59, number 3, string quartet, which one of the so-called Razumovsky quartets, and these are on every violin player's bucket list. And why I haven't done it before, I don't know. I do know. It's rare to find string quartets programmed at festivals, because yes, or on special chamber music series, because there's so many professional string quartets that tour around and they play this repertoire all the time. You have to work hard to get up to that level. But we had a nice success last summer playing Debussy and Ravel string quartets mm-hmm. in my groups. And it was a wonderful experience. And so I'm looking forward to that.
And I think what's particularly exciting is that you'll be playing with a couple of people that you already know. For example, what's interesting about this is it happens to be an all-female quartet that was not intentional on my part.
Okay, we'll go
no,
with
it
that.
Really just turned out that way.
No so, statement there.
So there's Stephanie, there's Irina Murisanu, who everybody knows, you know, is a festival favorite. A new violist is coming, Noriko Futagami. And Jackie Choi is returning as our cellist. So this is an incredible ensemble of four wonderful, happen to be, female string players. And so, again, I think it's going to be really exciting for the audience to see the four of you in action. And I know you haven't played with some of these people before, but I hope I gave you enough rehearsals.
Me too. We'll know pretty soon.
Everybody agrees.
And what's interesting, the Razumovsky, is this particular one has, I think, that little Russian elegance to it. I'm not sure if it has as many folk melodies as perhaps the first, for example, that's kind of rich in folk melodies. But this one has this very elegant Russian style, you know, and Beethoven dedicated it to the gentleman at the time, the Count Razumovsky, who was, I believe, the ambassador to Vienna at the time, the Russian ambassador to Vienna. So we're looking forward to that. All right, you're going to play something else for us, right?
Yes. It's something quite unusual.
Okay.
It's Borodin's Nocturne, which people will recognize, but it's in a special arrangement by Rimsky-Korsakov
really?
For violins and orchestra.
Wow.
This is a recording that I made a number of years ago with Jeffrey Simon conducting. It was on the Callow Records label, and the orchestra is the Philharmonia, which is one of the great British orchestras.
Yeah, how wonderful.
Excellent. We'll listen to that, then take another short break and be back with more. Thank you. Special presentation of the Newport Music Festival is the subject of tonight's program. As usual, Executive Director Pamela Pantos is here. I'm Mike Mano, and our very special guest is Stephanie Chase. And Pamela, where are we going from here?
One more concert that Stephanie is playing on this summer that is absolutely fascinating. On July 17th, it's called The Bridge Project at the Breakers at 8 p.m. And this really features the harp in a manifestation of ways you've never heard the harp before. So I know we did an entire program on this. It starts with the Bach Toccata and Fugue, believe it or not, that Bridget Kibbe arranged. It is stupendous. If you've never heard Bridget Kibbe play, please go to our website, look at the Bridge Project. On the bottom of that webpage, just click on the Bach Toccata and Fugue. You have got to hear this. And so this whole concert really centers on the harp. And Stephanie Chase is playing this. And I think that, you know, the Danse Sacrée and Profane is very different than some of the other pieces like the Caplet that you're playing, right?
Yes,
I mean,
yes.
So the whole program ends with this Debussy, which is, you know, very lyrical and kind of how you expect, and a little angelic, maybe a little impressionistic, but nothing like the Caplet. Do you want to talk a little bit about that crazy piece?
I can try. It's inspired by
Edgar Allan Poe's The Mask of Red Death.
Yes, La Mort Rouge.
Right,
yes,
exactly.
Yes, and it's quite creepy, actually. I mean, very virtuosic, very dramatic music, and not quite difficult. I mean, it's a real challenge in terms of the ensemble and the harp playing, but it's one of the most, you know, compelling pieces I think I've listened to recently.
So glad you like
yes,
it.
Yeah,
so,
I'm looking forward to it.
What we're throwing in at this piece, because it really tells the story. So when I listened to it for the 50th time, I actually was reading the short story by Edgar Allan Poe at the same time. So Trevor Neal is going to join this ensemble, and we're superimposing some of the language. So Trevor will actually be reading paragraphs here and there from the short story to guide the audience along. And then, you know, when certain things happen, you'll immediately hear it musically. And I just think the audience is going to, it's like Dark Shadows, right? Yeah. That was filmed right in Newport. It'll be something like that. And I think the audience is just, the way the harp is used throughout this program is pretty exciting. And Stephanie gives the harpist a break, because it's a big, big program,
yes,
by playing a string quartet by Nino Rota that you said you've never played before.
I haven't, and I'm really looking forward to this as well. And for people who don't know his music, he's best associated with, do you want to sing it?
No, I won't sing it.
The Godfather theme. Yes, that's his music.
He's a singer as well.
Yeah, she's really super talented. She's also a brilliant writer. Some people just have all the luck. So, yes, Nino Rota.
And see, you just had to settle for good looks and a
and organizational skills.
Right.
So what's really amazing about Nino Rota is, yes, he was a huge Hollywood writer for screen. And as Stephanie mentioned, he won all kinds of awards for Oscars for The Godfather, but he also won Oscars for Il Gatto Pardo, otherwise known as The Leopard, as well. So he wrote lots and lots of these screenplays.
Excellent.
And the music for
them. All right.
Yeah.
All right. I want to make sure that people have all the information they need. So why don't we give them a phone number and
sure.
website? And
we can do that.
Like that.
Okay.
I can do that?
No, we can do that. Right. NewportMusic.org or the box office, 401-849-0700. And I have to say, at this point in the festival, there aren't a lot of tickets left. So if you want to hear Stephanie Chase, go to the website and buy your tickets.
Right. Time is fleeting, only a few days left, so make sure you go online, check it all out. All right, let's talk about this last piece of music that we're going to play for our listeners tonight.
This is Ravel's Zigan, and it was written for a female violinist named Yeli Duranyi, who was, I believe, possibly related to him, or they were friends. And she was quite young when he wrote this work for her. And another interesting thing about it is that, first of all, it's very virtuosic, but it was originally composed for violin and an instrument called a luthiel, which is kind of a prepared piano. That was meant to sound like a hammered dulcimer. And then Ravel made an orchestration, which is what we're going to hear. And again, I'm playing with the Philharmonia, conducted by Jeffrey Simon.
All right, we'll listen to that piece, and then we'll see you all next time on our special series with the Newport Music Festival. But before we go, thank you so much for coming in, Stephanie. It was great to have you with us.
My pleasure to be here.
Pamela, we'll see you next time.
Absolutely.
Thank you for listening to WCRI's Festival Series featuring the Newport Music Festival. For more information on the festival, special seasonal concerts, to purchase tickets, or to donate, call 849-0700 or visit newportmusic.org.